I'm rolling.
And so am I. Oh, just open this quick. Cheers, yep. Mate. Thanks.
Cheers.
Easter time is here again, and it's the day we celebrate, the morning that the Easter Bunny rises from the grave. And if he sees his shadow, then it's six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see it, everyone gets Cadbury cream eggs. And he never sees his shadow, thank the Lord. So that's the Easter story, even though we didn't mention anything about the burning bush or chocolate-covered popes. You might want to do a bit more research on the details, 'cause in truth I mostly slept my way through Sunday school. But at least I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
The views and opinions expressed on this Easter podcast are that of the hosts and represent no other individual, organisation or entity. Happy Easter, Adam.
Happy Easter, Roger. Got Easter Sunday off because obviously Tesco's shut. And like I said, we're doing this podcast alternate weeks. So you might be surprised, but I went to the same park run twice in a row. It wasn't probably the one that you'd expect me to be going to twice in a row, is it?
No, but it's one of the nicer ones, isn't it?
I'm not so sure about that. It's a very busy park run.
We better tell the listeners where it is.
It's yeah, because I'm talking about it, describing it, but I ain't told you where it is. So it's Roberts Park Run in Saltaire.
Mm-hmm.
You like that park, I take it?
I do, and so do my kids. It's very nice because there's two little play areas nearby and the Shipley Glen Tramway, so it's a nice place.
Yes. So do you fancy running there?
Not at all. I won't mind having a swim in the river, though.
Fair enough. So last week, I actually got a better time last week than this week. I got 19:23, but that was on the winter course, which I think is slightly easier. Not much easier, but slightly easier. And then this week, I got 20:03, so that's 40 seconds slower, and this was on like the normal course. So yeah, wasn't a great time today, but last week it was a good time.
Thank you for sharing that news with us, Adam.
I don't know why it's coming to tradition. I think we're just talking about how our days were, and I always used to end up talking about that, and I think it's just become a real tradition, to be honest.
I think listeners probably love hearing about your park run more than they like hearing us break the news, but that's what we are going to do for the next 40, 50 minutes, or however long it takes us to do it.
And how long your phone can last.
Oh, 33% battery is loads. That
anyway, luckily I've got my recording. So, providing it works fine, it should be okay.
It's all good. It is the day before Easter Sunday, so it's the 30th of March 2024, and I very much look forward to Easter. I'm not Christian, of course, but I do enjoy the Easter season. What about yourself, Adam?
I'm not a massive fan of it, to be honest. I think most people celebrate more with chocolate than anything.
But absolutely.
The thing about it, the clocks are going forward on the same day this year.
Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, well, hopefully I won't notice it.
Did you not even realise that?
No, I didn't, no. But a lot of clocks are automatic now, so they just change. The only clock I've got that doesn't automatically change is the one on my oven in the kitchen now.
Oh, so you'd have been confused if I hadn't told you that.
Possibly, but fortunately on Easter Sunday I don't have much to be late for. We always celebrate Easter by going to my mother-in-law's and having a nice meal. And, of course, my daughters get an obscenely unhealthy and outrageous amount of chocolate eggs. I think one year we got over 40 eggs.
Really?
Between the three of them, yeah.
Oh, between the three of them.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be quite as many this year. They're getting older now, so.
Were you that bought all those eggs that year?
No, me and my wife tend to buy them about three each. Mm-hmm. And then other friends and relatives are always very generous and bring eggs. So it's very good. And we're looking forward to a nice day chilling out. It's kind of like...
Do you hide them?
My mother-in-law does an Easter egg hunt at her house. Mm. So when the girls go to her house, they have a hunt. My youngest is now seven, so they're all too old to believe in the Easter Bunny, but they still enjoy, you know, eggs. And my youngest has promised she's not going to eat so much she gets sick this year. So
she made herself sick by having too much chocolate on Monday.
Oh, the last two Easters in a row she's done it, so let's hope she's learned a lesson. But my daughter's having a great time anyway because it's the Easter holidays and I've been off. We went to a place in Barnsley called Calypso Cove last week.
Okay.
Have you heard of it, Adam?
No, I haven't. I ain't actually been to Barnsley.
Well, Barnsley's Barnsley, but Calypso Cove, it's just a nice swim place, slides and wave pool and all of that. And the kids had a great time. I'm a bit banged up because I had a fall earlier this week.
Oh.
And now I'm reaching 40. A fall can injure you. And I feel like I've bruised my ribs.
So whereabouts did you fall then?
I fell on my landing. And what I did as I fell, it's hard to explain this on a podcast, but I tucked my hand underneath my right rib cage. But then I fell on that hand, so I twisted my hand under my rib cage, so I hurt all of my right hand and a couple of my ribs on my right breast. But fortunately, I'm recovering. But when I went on one of the slides that drops you 2 metres, I landed on the water, surface tension, poof, right on the ribs that I bruised. So, yeah, it wasn't good for me, Calypso Cove, but the kids had a whale of a time, and it was good fun, so I'd definitely go again.
But if you'd like to get in touch, listener, about your stories or anything we're debating, please email us at breakthenewspod@gmail.com.
I know that there has been quite a lot of people talking about the news this week, because when I was out with some colleagues for the end of term debriefing session, a lot of people were talking about the royal family on Friday before the news of Kate Middleton's cancer diagnosis had broken. In fact, it was actually while I was at the pub with my colleagues where the video came out because someone said, Kate's got cancer. Wow. But that's what I wanted to talk about, really, what I term the royal dodginess that's been going on for the last couple of weeks. Because we had that weird picture that we didn't talk about it on the podcast. I didn't feel it was important enough to bring up, which was all Photoshopped with Kate and her kids. And then a week later, we had that video of Kate announcing she's ill. Prince Charles is ill. We're seeing very little of the main members of the royal family together. And when they are spotted, it's kind of very bad, grainy pictures. Everyone says it's body doubles. There's a lot of conspiracy theorising going on online, like what is going on with royal family? Something is going on. And I'm finding it hard to disagree, but I don't know what. So the latest is that tomorrow, King Charles is due to attend an Easter Sunday service as part of his first public appearance since he was diagnosed with cancer. But the Princess of Wales is not expected to go along. Charles and Queen Camilla are expected to sit away from the rest of the congregation in a bid to protect the monarch's health when they attend the service at St George's Chapel at Windsor Castle this weekend. Prince William and Kate are not expected to attend this year amid the Duchess's own cancer diagnosis and treatment. It came as a palace source, whoever that is, explained why Prince William had not appeared in Kate's emotional video in which she announced her diagnosis. They said, "It's a message from the princess about her health. She wanted to personally deliver the message on her own." And there's a couple of things there that just make me wonder why. Like, why is Charles going to a church service and then sitting apart from the rest of his family if he's so ill?
Yeah, but he might be distancing himself from the other people as well, because obviously cancer is serious. He won't want to pick anything up.
But then why go to the service at all? Just stay at home and watch it on the telly for... Then Kate to say, "Oh, I wanted to be in this video by myself on my own." Why? What's wrong with William? What would be wrong with that show of solidarity?
Are the family having fallouts here?
That's what it kind of points to and indicates. Something is going on. I don't know what. I think that chances are that Liz was the only person actually holding that family together, and there's probably a lot going on behind the scenes. There's so much rumour mongering on Twitter. I've heard things about Prince William and some lass called Rosie, how he's got illegitimate sprogs and everything. I'm just saying these are rumours I've heard. I'm not saying there's any truth to it, but people are talking and it's worrying. And I do remember that the palace are quite good at saying everything's fine, look away, and then suddenly they're not. You know, like look at the Queen. When the Queen was dying. Oh, the Queen's fine, she's stable, there's no problems, bit of ill health, but oh, she's dead. That was it.
Yeah.
So it's a weird time, and I think the royal families want to keep an eye on. What do you think, Adam?
Well, I don't really follow the royal family that much anyway, but obviously people do have health problems, and yes, the royal family are generally quite private, or the Queen was, and they still are, or they're very slow to be making statements, aren't they?
What do you think is the cause of all this royal dodginess?
I think they're very wary of the media and how to actually put things out.
I think Kate and William are having some sort of problem, and Charles is very, very ill. Looking at the recent picture of him, he looks extremely ill. I think there's just so much friction at the moment, it's putting a strain on their marriage, perhaps. But again, this is all just me poking my nose in, being nosy, but they are a royal family, and that's part of what they're there for. They're like the nation's soap opera, and that's why we pay for them, to make our nation interesting and to contribute to our culture. So I think it's right and fine to talk about them as long as we're not being cruel.
Fair enough. Like I say, I never cover them in my news, but it's always you that brings it up, isn't it? But
yeah, because they are interesting and people do talk about them.
One of the other things that is probably quite interesting, although I'm not sure if it's interesting as much, but there is a bit of good news a couple of weeks ago, because inflation hit a 3.4% rate last month, the lowest in nearly 2.5 years. The slow price growth was driven by reduced food and dining costs, though housing and fuel prices continued to rise. Renting costs surged 9%, the highest since 2015, despite consecutive monthly drops. Prices aren't falling, but rising at a slower pace. Meanwhile, the Bank of England held interest rates at 5.25%, with future inflation expected to be tempered by lower energy prices. However, households face increased expenses in areas like water, mobile and broadband. Chancellor Jeremy Hunt hinted at potential tax cuts as inflation inches towards targets, though Labour criticised the Conservatives for a decade-long decline in living standards. What did you make of this news about inflation falling?
It's good news, and I've seen it a little bit in my shops. I've noticed prices in some places going down, or at least staying stable. So it's definitely news that the Conservative Party will welcome. Probably too little too late, though. Jeremy Hunt certainly needs some good news, because he made himself look a right wally this week when he went out in an interview and said, I think it was something like, you know, 100k a year isn't actually that much. But I think this is good news. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah, it is good news that it's coming down. But is it enough to win them the next general election?
No.
No, I don't think it is either, unfortunately. I think they're completely screwed. I think whatever happens, Labour are going to win. The Conservative vote seems to be in slow terminal decline. Obviously, there are weekly outliers, but yeah, it does seem to be going down. But do you think Labour are actually that popular?
Not really, no.
Because do you hear people with an urge to suddenly say, I'm voting Labour?
No.
Other than to say, I'm voting the Tories out?
It's people want the Tories out. It's not that they want Labour or Keir in. Another thing that stands out from the article you've shared there, Adam, is bills are still predicted to go up, apart from energy bills. I think one article I read said seeing the water bills go up is particularly galling, because there was another big piece of news this week about toxic water waste being polluted and dumped by one of the big water companies down south. So they need to get their act together, or maybe the government should fine them or windfall tax them or something.
Yeah, but rain's very easy to collect anyway, though, isn't it? It's not exactly as if water waste isn't a massive issue, is it?
Well, if it's that easy to collect, why are they charging me £100 a month for it?
Exactly, yeah, that's what, with the technology in this day and age, yeah, free water should be, well, maybe not free, because obviously people do need workers to maintain the things, but cheap water should be, yeah, should be universal.
And sadly, it's not very cheap, so something is going wrong with these water companies. But if you are metered like me, and you've got three daughters who like to have baths every day, water adds up. It's very expensive in our house, especially if it's heated as well.
Yeah, because then you've got to pay the gas as well, haven't you?
Exactly. So those three baths a day add up to a heck of a lot.
Yeah, you're paying quite a lot of money there. That does not help when you've got other bills on top of it.
I think that's where people need to see a big difference very quickly to get hope and think about voting for the Conservatives again. But it's not going to happen that quick, sadly, for them.
No. And there's been more news this week as two ministers quit. So two government ministers, Robert Haltham and James Heaper, have resigned, prompting a reshuffle by Rishi Sunak. Haltham, responsible for education, and Heaper for armed forces, are stepping down at the next election. Leo Doherty and Luke Hall will replace them. These resignations are part of a trend, with many Tory MPs not standing for re-election. Other changes include Nuss Kearney as Europe Minister and Kevin Hollenbeck as Minister of State for Business and Trade. In his resignation letter, Haltham quoted Lord of the Rings, expressing gratitude and readiness for a new journey. The growing exodus of Tory MPs, now at 63, coincides with a decline in polling ahead of the expected election later this year. Now, do you think these two ministers were trying to do what Shabby Javid and Rishi Sunak did to Boris Johnson, except not many people followed them?
Yeah, they're jumping before they're pushed, aren't they?
But like I say, no one followed them, so Rishi Sunak's there.
And it's very cowardly, because it shows that they haven't really got these principles in the first place, you know, when they make up excuses for going, like, oh...
And it shows that if there's only two that were able to go, it shows that Rishi Sunak's got a lot of support in Parliament.
63 Tory MPs have left.
Ah, so, yeah, 63 is the number of MPs that are standing down at the next general election, so that's nothing to do with Rishi Sunak.
Well, 63 of them are Conservative and 16 are over. So yeah. I don't think it's to do with Rishi Sunak, it's to do with the fact that they're not going to get voted in again, and they know it. Yeah. So
no, that's not the case of Labour, that could be retirement as well, but I mean, yeah, most of it's probably because, yeah, they know they're not going to win, so they're not going to want to waste time, money, etc., and other stuff on election campaigns, and also we're probably frightened about death threats and stuff as well.
I don't know if it's shrewd or cowardly. I can certainly understand, though, wanting to step down if you're scared of death threats, but the party should be able to support them and provide security if they're that worried about that, unless they are actually doing just such a terrible job. The death threats almost become understandable. Discontent is certainly understandable. I don't think there's ever any excuse for death threats.
No. Do you think Labour will end up replacing a lot of these Conservative MPs? Because I read that a polling company, Servation, did an MRP poll where they poll people in different parts of the country in different constituencies, and they reckon that the Conservatives could get less than 100 seats at the next general election.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Do you think they'll make some recovery as we head towards the general election?
I hope so, because that would be a sign that the country as a whole is prospering. I don't hope so for the sake of the party, but I really think they're going to get an absolute pasting.
Yeah. But you've got to remember, when all the debates come on, reform might not be included in the debates, so a lot of those reform UK voters might go back to the Conservatives.
I'd be very surprised if reform aren't, because I think in the upcoming general election, maybe even the local ones as well this May, that smaller parties and reform and independent candidates are going to do a lot better than expected, because people, as you've said, aren't that keen on Labour.
Do you think reform and independents will do well in Bradford?
Independents, possibly. I think a couple will get in. I'm still plugging for my boy Mohammed Ali, but I don't think reform will get far in Bradford.
And what makes you think that the refund won't get far in Bradford? Because UKIP did quite well in Bradford. BNP did well in Bradford.
I haven't seen them campaigning in Bradford.
Neither have I. Only on social media. And actually seen, even though they're campaigning in the ward that I'm standing in on social media, which suggests they are standing, I haven't seen any leaflet from them. You're not going to get in if you're not going to deliver leaflets, are you?
No, and political parties need to be careful how they pitch themselves when voting, when campaigning in Bradford, because if they say, Bradford's a dump, vote for us, that's not going to win people round. Even though everyone knows Bradford is a dump, no one likes to see their city brought down. If they say, Bradford needs improving, and here's how, and they give specific examples, that's the kind of stuff that helps.
Mm.
Another thing that helps a great deal in some constituencies in Bradford is if you say free, free Palestine.
Yeah.
That means a lot to many people, even though it's got very little to do with local politics.
Yeah, and also there's stuff about in some of the outer wards, if you say stop immigration, that also has a big effect as well.
And again, that's got very...
Like I said, that's just how divided our city actually is.
See, I want someone to knock on my door and say, we're going to campaign to knock down Richard Dunn's. We're going to make the city feel safer. We're going to get rid of street beggars. We're going to get rid of these guys who hang around in the middle of the road and, you know, knock on your car door. That's the kind of thing that I want to hear about in a local election. But instead, what do we get? Free Palestine. That's about it.
Yeah, have you seen lots of Labour leaflets saying free Palestine? No.
And quite a few, yeah.
Labour ones are independents or both?
Both.
Hmm. Yeah, because I bet you hear a lot about what goes on in Manningham, don't you, in election leaflets?
Yeah. I did get a leaflet through my door, actually, this week from a very nice-sounding young man, but his leaflet basically said, you know, vote for whatever his name is. He's a very nice young chap. And that was it. So...
Well, lots of different stuff, obviously. There was actually a few pages on the leaflet, though, weren't there?
Yeah, but it's what I can remember and what I gleaned from it.
Yeah.
And that's all I can remember.
Have you had any other parties post a leaflet through your door yet this year?
Not yet, but I know you love this sort of thing, Adam, so I'll be sure to share with you if and when I do.
Yeah, because I like to see who's posting the leaflets. Well, I had a Labour leaflet in November. I haven't had one since, but I know Labour have already started doing the second leaflet. I started my first one, but I'm not going to go into any details about what's happened with regarding that, but it has been started, although it's going to be continued, and hopefully for the best.
I was just having a giggle there, because on the Labour leaflet I got, there were quotes about this young man, you know, from people that he knew. And I was thinking, on your leaflet, you could put, Adam is the only Tory that I'd vote for. Roger Skelton. Don't put that in. I would not recommend putting that on your leaflet. But
And I'm not going to put that on the leaflet, because I don't think the Conservative Party would be too happy with that.
No, it's not a very edifying quote for them.
No.
But I do wish you all the best, Adam, personally, you know, as Adam Paterson.
Will I get elected this year? That's the bigger question.
I wouldn't bank on it, mate.
It all depends on who's standing against me as well. If there's independents and reform standing against me, I don't want much chance to you.
It's just the fact that people want the Tories out. A lot of people will literally vote for a lettuce instead of Tories. And a lot of people will vote for a lettuce if that lettuce says free Palestine.
But the question is, how do you think the Green Party are going to do this year? That's going to be big and very interesting, because I've heard that the Green Party have been campaigning in mosques over the Palestine issue. So do you think they will take a lot of Labour's voters?
I think they will get a fair few, yeah. I think they will
win extra seats because of that.
They'll probably get two or three, yeah. They always get Brighton, don't they? The Greens love
them. Yeah, but do you think they'll make gains in some of the areas... in some of the areas in Bradford.
Wouldn't surprise me. I think, isn't it Shipley who...
Well, Shipley have three Green councillors. Yeftong have three Green councillors as well, so... And there's a few other wards that have got a few other Green councillors. So I think it's Heaton that Greens have been close to in recent years, close to Labour, so it is possible that they could get some seats.
So you never know, and I agree. I think the Greens could get a few seats.
I think, like I said, there's a big independent group that are standing in many parts of Bradford, and I think a lot of the people that are bothered about Palestine, I think they'll vote for them over the Labour and Green.
I'm sure we'll have lots more predictions and ideas and thoughts on local elections in the coming weeks, yeah, Adam.
This week we get to find out, at the end of this week, who's standing in each individual ward. So that'll be interesting. I'll be sharing it with you as soon as I get it.
Great. I'll look forward to it. And if anything urgent pops up, you know we'll put it on the podcast straight away. Yeah. But I think our next one is, will be early April, won't it, in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah,
but
probably.
Until then, we've still got a few pieces of news to share for this week. One of my pieces of news that I wanted to share, because I'm very interested in the Eurovision Song Contest. I usually talk about it on this podcast, and I have mentioned the Palestine-Israel war on the podcast already this week, but it's that Ollie Alexander, the UK's Eurovision Song Contest entrant, who's quite good, has refused calls to withdraw from the competition in protest against Israel's participation. Despite receiving pressure from over 450 queer artists to boycott the event due to the Gaza conflict, Alexander believes in the unifying power of music and hopes to use the platform to advocate for peace. He expressed support for action demanding a ceasefire in Gaza. While some groups urged him to reconsider, Alexander and several other European contestants affirmed their decision to participate, emphasising music's ability to foster meaningful connections. The European Broadcasting Union, which organises Eurovision, emphasised the contest's role in promoting togetherness and transcending politics through music. What do you think, Adam? Do you think people should be boycotting Eurovision because Israel are participating?
Well, it's not supposed to be political as Eurovision, but it always ends up being political, doesn't it?
So do you think Ollie's making the right decision here, taking part?
I think he should take part in Eurovision. I don't think there's anything wrong with the way Eurovision's going. I think Israel have every right to be in it.
But Russia aren't in the contest.
No, but Russia's war was a bit more aggressive than Israel's because, like I said, Russia started their war, didn't they?
Yeah.
But Israel didn't start their war like Russia. So, like I say, Israel are actually defending the country. So Israel are a bit like Ukraine in that sense.
Yeah. To be honest, with this news, I doubt that Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli leader, is sat in his palace trembling in his boots because Ollie Alexander is doing Eurovision. You know, it's a bit like all these people who, like, do boycott things like Tesco's and Coke because they say, oh, it's got links to Israel and Judaism. It's not going to change anything. Benjamin Netanyahu is not worried about such things like that. I think Ollie can express himself however he wishes. If he didn't want to do the Eurovision Song Contest, his choice, someone else will. And if he wants to express himself appropriately through his music, then fair enough. So I don't have strong feelings one way or the other, and I think anyone who's giving Ollie a hard time should get off his back and leave him alone.
I think you should just get on with it and continue with Eurovision. I don't pay much attention to it, but sure, you'll be covering that a lot more than me.
Absolutely. And another thing that we look forward to sharing with you and Adam and Roger, break the news. You know I always have a track or two from Eurovision sandwiching our podcast. So I'll see what I can break out when the contest this year does come around.
Yeah. So we have concerning news there with regarding Muslim conversions. Official figures from the Ministry of Justice reveals that 1 in 5 Muslim prisoners in England and Wales is white, comprising nearly 20% of the Muslim inmate population. Concerns have been raised about the influence of Islamic gangs driving conversions, particularly in high security prisons where safety is a concern and where many young violent men seek belonging. While some conversions may be genuine, there are worries about coercive tactics within prisons. Reports have highlighted instances of Muslim terrorists exerting control over prison wings, is attempting to convert or radicalise other inmates. However, the Ministry of Justice emphasises that forced conversions are not tolerated. Now, do you think this is worrying that people in prisons are being radicalised? Because it's supposed to be de-radicalising people, prisons, not radicalising.
I would say that this actually has very little to do with religion and more to do with gangs and groups and prison demographics. My dad was a prison officer for 12 years, so I've kind of got a good idea about this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And in prison, the main thing that separates prisoners from each other is their ethnic group. Sadly, division, separation is and racism is alive and well in the prison system. And that and what gang you're in, although gangs aren't so much of a factor in the UK, are very big drivers in terms of what group you're in prison. And you had better be in a group if you are in prison, because if you're alone, you will have a miserable time. And one way to get in a group is to convert, which is what many prisoners have done. And to be honest, I don't blame them. If you're in a situation like that, you need to be in a group.
Why do you need to be in a group? Oh, because you're vulnerable otherwise.
Yeah, otherwise, if you're on your own in prison, you're vulnerable, yeah. You're vulnerable to all sorts of exploitation, theft, drug abuse, physical, sexual assault of all kinds.
Mm. Maybe it's not as concerning as news as what I potentially thought. Then maybe it's more that prisons are just a bad place.
Yeah, prisons are terrible places. Although you do see a lot on the news about outrage news where people talk about how cushy prisons are. But you've got to remember, any perceived privilege that prisoners seem to have, you know, like that everyone brings up, like, you know, PlayStations and free medical care, fair enough. But what they have lost in that prison is their liberty. They cannot go out on a Saturday night and podcast with their mate like I can. They can't talk to their family whenever and friends whenever they want, like we can. And that is a big thing. And the worst part of prison is being stuck in a building with loads and loads of other prisoners, loads of other scumbag lawbreakers who are not afraid of breaking rules. And unless you have a way of protecting yourself, you will be their next victim.
Yeah.
So you've got to be in a group. And normally, prisoners group themselves by their ethnicity or by the gang, and another way they do it is by religion. Say you're a Muslim, then you become part of a group, you've got people protecting you. That's very important, and it has nothing to do with the actual Islam, to be honest. So I know it says here that the Ministry of Justice emphasises that forced conversions are not tolerated. It pretty much is a forced conversion. It's social engineering, and that it's definitely coercion, and that's what happens. And that's the harsh reality of prison life. And if you don't like it, my suggestion is don't break the law and end up in prison.
Yeah, you're right there.
I wanted to put something in about Easter with this being our Easter show. And it's kind of got something to do with religion as well, which we've just touched on with that last article. And it's the gesture egg story, because I have heard on numerous online outlets like podcasts and Twitter and YouTube videos about a Cadbury shop in the UK that has been labelling their chocolate 3D oval shapes as gesture eggs instead of calling them Easter eggs. And a lot of people say, oh, this is ridiculous. It's Easter eggs. Protect our culture. So I thought, oh, this is something I might be able to rant about on the podcast. Let's have a look. I looked into it, and here's what I found out. A Cadbury store in Lincolnshire faced criticism from a Christian campaign group for advertising chocolate Easter eggs as gesture eggs. The shop, located in Springfield's outlet in Spalding, offered a 2 for £10 deal on these eggs. However, Cadbury's owners stated they had no involvement in the promotion, clarifying that they licensed the brand to Fresh Stores Limited, the independent retailer running the Cadbury discount store. Mondelez International, Cadbury's owner, emphasised that all Cadbury's Easter shell eggs sold in the UK clearly reference Easter on the packaging. Christian Concern argue that eggs are a symbol of the Easter story and separating Easter from eggs erases their meaning. They accuse the store of attempting to disconnect Easter from eggs. The store did not comment on the matter and Fresh Stores Limited representatives were contacted for comment. Later, the BBC observed that the advertising had been changed to refer to Easter eggs instead of gesture eggs. This incident is reminiscent of a 2017 controversy when Cadbury was criticised for omitting the word Easter in its marketing, leading to accusations of airbrushing faith by the Church of England. So what this story turns out to be, Adam, really, is fake news.
Yeah.
Because everyone's been getting outraged that Cadbury have banned the word Easter, and it turns out it's just one idiotic shop owner who made a bad decision, and it's been turned into a huge thing. To try and get people to say, they're banning Easter! And, you know, these idiots at Christian Concern have got their panties in a twist about it and gotten all outraged about it. And, you know, it's just one idiot who's printed out some stupid posters. They've fixed the mistake. The eggs still say Easter on them. Get over it.
I don't think it's a big deal. Like I say, I'm not really interested. I believe in religion at all, but people will be offended by it, unfortunately. And, yeah, I'd naturally heard the story until you brought it up.
But will they, though? Will they? Have you ever met anyone who's been offended by an Easter egg?
No.
I've never met anyone who's been offended by Easter. And if anyone should be offended by Easter, it's me, because I really disagree strongly with religion. But people do tend to get offended when you tell them that their truly held faith is a crock of garbage and a force for evil in this world. It puts people's nose out of joint, so I avoid saying it. But Easter eggs do not bother me. I celebrate Easter, I celebrate Christmas, my daughters munch the eggs, and I'll happily be celebrating Eid in a couple of weeks' time. My neighbours been bringing me all sorts of iftar treats this week, samosas and pakoras and things, and it's wonderful. I think it is fine and great to celebrate and enjoy these good parts of religion that bring people together and build cultures and communities. What is wrong is all that hate that people get into when people do feel under threat. And when people do hear fake news like Cadbury are banning the word Easter, it just stokes that division and that hate, and we need to pack that in.
Yeah.
So that's why I enjoy, you know, doing this podcast as well, Adam, and looking into the news a bit more and looking at it a bit closer.
But one of the things that I do want to mention about Easter, have you noticed that Easter eggs, companies like Cadbury's, not just Cadbury's, but many other companies, do actually only have the inside of their egg empty. A real egg would actually be filled.
Yeah, that would be nice. Although I don't know if I could actually eat a solid egg. How would you do that?
You'd hurt your teeth, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I just eat cream eggs whole.
But I mean, you could always cut a bit off or whatever.
Biting the top off and, like, licking the fondant out is quite a nice way to eat them as well. But what I tend to do is I usually go out on, like, Monday or Tuesday and go hunting for cheap eggs in the reduced section.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll be doing. I have a rule where I never pay more than 30p for a cream egg. Although right now Tesco have them for 30p each. With club card price.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to Easter. Like I look forward to all these celebrations. It's an excuse to get together with family and have a good time. If people do want to say it's because of Jesus Christ, their risen Lord, then good on them. That's their choice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's up to them. Like I say, I don't agree with Easter, but I don't agree with a lot of religious events, but it's up to people if they want to celebrate.
Have you got yourself an Easter egg, Adam?
I haven't, surely, although I think my dad's got me one, and my mum bought me a chocolate bar to try and save some money, so.
Hey, nice one. My mum always gets our kids some Easter crafts, so they have more than the eggs to look forward to, and I think that's a good idea, because they get enough eggs.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing for Easter, by the time this goes out, you'll have probably had it. Whatever you've done for Easter, I hope you had a good one, and enjoy April, because by the time this goes out, it will be April.
Yep, it will. And yes, and then in the next few weeks and months, we are going to be covering the local elections coming up, aren't we?
And WrestleMania. I know you're not.
What's that? Is that the wrestling stuff?
Yeah, yeah, but I think that's on April the 8th and the 9th.
So but that's what you'll be covering. I'll be covering the local elections.
And I can't wait. And always a pleasure to spend yes. time with you, Adam. And thank you, listeners, for listening. And if you want to be part of things a bit more, then emailing us at breakthenewspod@gmail.com is the way to do it. Thank you for spending your time with us. Take care.
Take care. Bye. You know the way, so take